Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rrajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إياكم والتنعم فإن عباد الله ليس بالمتنعمين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the 9th session of the discourse, Dil Ki Dunya, the world of the heart. If we know our heart, we know how the heart functions, we know the details of the heart, we know how it responds to certain situations, then we'll be able to travel within our heart and finally find our way to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. When a person is physically ill, he's sick, he's not well, he will go to a doctor and the doctor will examine him. He will go to a doctor because the doctor understands the anatomy of the human body. He knows the ins and outs. The doctor will examine him. He has studied the heart. He knows the details of the heart, the medical heart. He knows the lungs. He knows the liver. He knows the different parts of the body. And after having examined the body, he'll diagnose where the problem is and he'll prescribe appropriate medication. Likewise, if we know the heart and we know the details of the heart, the spiritual heart, whenever there's some abnormality there, then we'll be able to correct it and be able to direct ourselves to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And that is why Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahimahullah, he conducted this discourse, Dil Ki Dunya, the world of the heart. If you want to ascend in spirituality, change your life, reform your life, you've got to know the heart, because that is where the beginning of reformation and spirituality is. The sixth discourse and the sixth lesson for changing your life, reformation, bonding yourself with Allah and attaching yourself to Allah, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahimahullah states, it is zuhd, abstinence of this from this world. What is zuhd and what is abstinence from this world? Zuhd means to stay away from all comforts and pleasures of this world for the pleasure of Allah. Every part of the definition is important. You stay away from comforts and luxuries of the world, not needs and necessities. And secondly, you stay away from all these comforts and luxuries of the world for the pleasure of Allah. Otherwise, some people will stay away from comforts and luxuries because they are miserly to spend. Or probably somebody wouldn't want to eat extra because he's on a diet and he fears that he'll pick up weight. So the definition of zuhd and abstinence is that you stay away from the comforts and luxuries of the world for the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And then Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab then draws a distinction between zuhd
and Rahbaniyat. Rahbaniyat, monasticism, which is commonly practiced among the Christians. They go away in the church and stay away from all the basic needs of life. They don't even get married. That's a different thing what they do in their private life, but they stay away from basic things of life. And that is against human nature. Allah Ta'ala refers to it in the Quran Kareem, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. These people, they have initiated monasticism and rahbaniyat. We didn't make it compulsory upon them. And they took it upon themselves to stay away from the basic things of life, but they will not be able to fulfill the haqq and the right of that. Person initially started off that he's not going to get married, but he ended up in zina. Person made intention, he's not going to do any business, leave the world out, but finally he ended up doing fraud with somebody. That goes against human nature, and that is not what tasawwuf is all about. And this is where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As we discussed before, one is huquq, rights, and one is huzuz, comfort and luxuries. In Islam and tasawwuf, we try to move away from huzuz, but we don't move away from huquq. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu got married. But he wasn't spending time with his wife. Whole night he was engaged in ibadat. And it was having an impact on his body, on his physical self. Now, from moving away from zuhud, he was going to rahbaniyat. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him. Inna li'aynika alayka haqq, wa inna li'jasadika alayka haqq, wa inna li'zawjika alayka haqq. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't stay away from basic requirements of life. That's against human nature. That is not zuhud. Your wife has a right on you, your body has a right on you, your family has a right on you, so do those things. So there's a difference between zuhud and rahbaniyat. In zuhud, we stay away from the comforts and luxuries of life for the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Then Mufti Shafi Sahab explains three categories of zuhud. The first one, you have a total aversion from this world. Aversion. You want nothing to do. You just don't like anything of this world. A total aversion. The second, you don't have an aversion for the world, but you don't have inclination either. And the third, you have an inclination, but you don't chase behind the world. These are three categories. The first one, total aversion from the world. Highest category of zuhud, and this was what was in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Highest category of zuhud, total aversion. And let me just share a few examples to show that Nabi Kareem from the zuhud and total abstinence from this world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, I was given an option to be a Nabi, a prophet, who is a king. With all the comfort and luxury of the world, you can still be a prophet. Like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Or I could be a prophet that is an abd, a slave, where you don't own anything, you're not even the owner of your own self. So when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam presented this offer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem said, looked at Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam like this. What's your mashwara? What's your eye? So, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam did like this. Adopt nubuwat, a prophethood, like an abd. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose it upon himself. When you're a slave, you don't own anything, you don't even own your own self. Total aversion from the world. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even explained it. Mali walid dunya. Mujhe dunya ke saath kya taluk? What contact. What do I have got to do with this world? And this feeling of aversion from this world was natural in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very natural. It mentioned in the books of hadith, on one occasion, before the prohibition of silk. Silk is prohibited for males. For females it is permissible. And for males it is only permissible equivalent to four fingers, ala sabili namuzaj. So, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented with a jubba made from silk, from the inner part of it was silk. Before the prohibition of silk. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore the jubba. He felt very uncomfortable. He took it out, and in the hadith it is mentioned, kalkari. As though you dislike it. Just, it was just natural. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't just bear wearing something that has tana'um and comfort in it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, even before the prohibition of silk, هَذَا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is not appropriate for people of taqwa. The incident took place in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where there was a rumor that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divorced his wives. So Umar radiallahu anhu heard about it in his house. He had a dispute with his wife. And his wife, he said, what are you having a dispute with me? Some of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having problem with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he thought about his daughter, Hadha Hafsa, and left his house. And he came to a masjid in Nabawi, people were crying. Because they heard Allah the Rasul divorced his wives. It was a rumor. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to meet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After an attempt three times to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third time he got permission to meet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in that lengthy hadith, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes, when I went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down on a straw mat. And that straw mat had left marks on the body of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the bed of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No posturpedic mattress or cloud nine mattress. On the floor, the king of the kings lying down on the floor, and then the straw mat is making marks on his body. Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, I looked around the room, I've just found two or three pieces of leather. Entire room was empty. He then told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, Ud'u Allah falyuwassi' ala ummatik. Make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah gives us the comfort and luxuries of the world. Allah opened up the world for us too. فَإِنَّ فَارِسْ وَنَوْ room قَدْ وُسِّعَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala given so much of wealth to the Romans and the Persians. Allah opened the world for them and they don't even worship Allah. We worship Allah so we should get more. That was a request Umar made to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember we are talking about zuhd, abstinence, aversion from this world. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's answer. First, he surprised Umar. Awa anta hada ya Umar. Umar, you talking like that. Somebody else will understand, but you, O Umar. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ulaika qawmun qad ujjadat lahum tayyibatum fil hayati dunya. That nation, referring to non-Muslims, the Romans and the Persians, Allah has given them the comfort and the luxuries of the world in this world, because they got nothing for them in the akhir. For us, this world is kun fi dunya ka annaka sabil aw abiru sabil, gharib aw abiru sabil. We're going to leave this world. Our world is there afterwards. Nothing. This world here, we are here just to earn the akhirat. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he made this request, see, this was the highest level of zuhud in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For you and I, probably very hard for us to take that level. And that is not even matloob when it's not within your ability. Probably the second one also may be hard for many people, but the least we can do is the third level of zuhud that's required. As the Mufti Shafi Saab says, that adopt the third level of zuhud and abstinence, where we have an inclination toward the world, but we don't hanker, we don't chase behind the world. And that is what, that at least the category of zuhud we should try to implement and inculcate within ourselves. Don't chase behind the world. We can live in the world, enjoy the comforts and luxuries of the world. Ni'mats come, we use them, but we don't chase behind it. An example of it is, some ulama, and I think it is Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi, presented this example. There's a boat that is sailing on the ocean. A boat is sailing on the ocean. So a boat is on top of the water is at the bottom. And until the water is at the bottom, that boat will sail and reach its destination. Let the water come inside the boat will sink. Just like that. Let the world be like the water of the ocean. Let it remain there. And our hearts, let it be like the boat. Don't let that ocean, that love of the world come inside our heart. Let it be around us. One person, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, gives an example to explain this point of Zuhud. One person, he decided to take bay'at and allegiance on his sheikh, spiritual guide, but the spiritual guide was deeply involved in tijarat and business. This business, that business, and investment schemes and everything. But for some reason he decided to take spiritual guidance from the sheikh. So, then one day he questioned his sheikh. He said, Hazrat, I took bayat from you, in your hand, to learn Zuhud, but you are soaked in this world. You're soaked in this world. You're doing this business and that tijarat and that tijarat. How am I going to learn Zuhud for you? The sheikh is wise. He won't talk immediately. So another occasion, when they were walking together, it was a season for Hajj. The sheikh asked the person, his disciple, his murid, ready for Hajj? You want to go for Hajj? He said, yes. Say, when? Now, right now. He said, no, I still got to go home, I sort out my business and all that. Sheikh said, I got so many other businesses, I'm ready right now, I'm not even worried about that. You got still little and your heart is inside there. So, you can have a lot, but your heart is not in it. And this is what Zuhud is all about. And the moment that the dunya gets inside the heart, that is when all the sicknesses start off. That's when all the sicknesses start off. And I normally give that example of Club 99. Club 99. One day one king, he was sitting in the balcony of his house. And he saw one farmer, peasant, walking past early morning with his tools of farming. He is happy and enjoying and singing away early in the morning and going. And the king thought to himself that I am the king. I've got the palace. I got all the comfort and luxury of the world. I'm not as happy as that person. He's a farmer. He hasn't got anything. How come he's more happier than me? So he called one of his royal courtiers and he asked, why that farmer is more happier than me when I got the palace? I'm the king. The royal courtier told to the king, the reason for that is that person there, he's not in Club 99. So what is Club 99? He said, tomorrow when he passed by, call him. And give him a bag of gold, but give him 99. Not 98, not 199. And see what happens to him after that. The following morning, the king called him, gave him a bag of gold, 99. He didn't proceed to work, he went back home. And now, he started counting the coins. 97, 98, 99. Something wrong. Nobody give 99. Although in commerce, they say you must mark the price 99, so it looks one rand lesser. So 99? No. Let's count second time. Let's count third time. No, I have to convert this 99 to 100. It was his habit in the morning. He'd have nice breakfast with his wife, wish his wife well, express some words of love and comfort to her, and then go to work. This particular morning, he never even looked at his wife's face. Now the concern is that 99 I need to move it to 100. For now he's walking in front of the palace and the king saw the same person yesterday who was laughing, joking, singing to himself and now he's gone blown up face. King asked the royal court, what happened? He said, now he's in Club 99. This is Club 99 and this is what it is. That when we are soaked in this world, our heart, mind, soul, everything is in the world, and this is what causes all the problems in our lives. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, he gives a nice example of one person, very greedy, very greedy. And this is what greed does to a person. It may just seem like a story, but we can relate it to it in our personal lives. One person so greedy, he would see two people talking, and because of his greed, he would think to himself, you know, those two people are talking, maybe one is telling to the other to give me something. So children one day, they started playing with him. Still, children, you know, they have to get hold of the right person, that person is in trouble. They started making a mockery out of him. So in order to release the children from him, he told the children, what you're troubling me? Down the road, they're distributing sweetmeats. He spoke a lie. So the children left him and went. So what he did also, he also turned around to go where the children were going. So I asked him, why you went there? He said, maybe there was some truth in my lies. Some truth in my lies. Maybe I'll get something out of there. So he used to go to a sweetmeat shops, people making mithai, and he should tell them that, you know, the barfi, mithai, magaj, all that you're making, make it a little bigger in size. So the bakers told him, but you never ever buy from us anytime. Why are you asking for it? We must make. Now maybe somebody will come by with the intention of giving me, so I'll get a bigger laddu and mithai. That is the extent. This is what greed can do to a person. All that time you are soaked in this. It is possible for us to live a life, to have an inclination to the world and also have zuhd as well. And I'll just give one or two incidents and I will terminate with that. In the books of hadith, an amazing incident is mentioned. In Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Buyu and other books of hadith, it is mentioned. One person, he bought a land. He purchased a land from someone. And as he was doing farming on that land, he picked up a jar of gold. He thought to himself, now, if it's probably you and I, we bought the farm and imagine we found gold inside. We say, Ya Allah, shukar, this is from me, ni'mat from you. But look at this person's zuhd, this person's abstinence. What he did is, he thought to himself, I bought the land, I didn't buy the jar of gold. He goes to a seller and tells the seller, I bought the land from you, I didn't buy the jar of gold, take this jar of gold. Can we give any example of any person like that today? Now look at the person that sold the land. Say, no. I sold you the land with the jar of gold, because that jar of gold was inside. I sold the land, if the jar of gold came in your nasib, it is yours. That side the zuhd, this side the zuhd. Both of them are fighting not to have something. And today everybody fight to have everything. Two people are fighting not to have something. Do we have an example of that today? So, they decided, they took the matter to the judge. For the judge to judge now who must get it, who mustn't get it. The judge was also a very wise person. He saw two people of taqwa here. And to judge in a situation like that is very difficult. So the judge said, okay, do you have children? Say, yeah, one person got a son, the other one got a daughter. Get them married to each other and both of you collectively give the jar of gold to both of them. When you have zuhd in you, your awlad, this barakat comes in the life of your awlad. There was two people, one old man and one a young person. They entered into a partnership of grains. Old man and a young person. They entered in a partnership of grains. But there was an agreement between both of them, and this is a good lesson for people that enter into partnerships. So, the old man and a young person, they came to an agreement that one day I'll take some grains, the other day you take some grains. After some time, they saw the heap of grains is still the same. So, the young person asked the elderly person, I said, you were supposed to take grains every day, every alternate day. Why you didn't take? Look at the answer of that elderly person. He said, I thought to myself that I'm an elderly person. And about to leave the world. You got a long way in your life. I decided to forfeit my share in your favor. It will be of use to you in life. But then, the elderly person asked the young person, but why you didn't take your share? Because the heap of grain is still the same. So young person gave another amazing answer. He said that, you know, Hazrat, I am a young person. I thought you were an elderly person and I still got strength and energy in me. So I thought I should forfeit my share for you because you are an old person. I'm a young person. I can at least work. You don't have that amount of energy like me. This is what you call zuhd abstinence. Brothers, you know, when we have zuhd in us, all our muamalats will come right. Now we'll give zakat without any attachment. We know it's the haq of Allah Ta'ala. We'll give sadaqah and charity. And one thing which is very common, very often I get this question in the Darul Ifta, that people want to give the wealth in their lifetime. Nothing wrong, you can do that thing. Sometimes for practical reasons, you want to give your wealth away to your children in your lifetime. Nothing wrong in that. But don't do it with the intention of manipulating the law of Allah. Sometimes what happens is that you know that you got sons, you got daughters. Now if you're going to pass away, then your daughter is going to get half the share of the son. Now in order for the daughter to benefit more, so you thought, okay, let me give it in my lifetime so that my daughter will get the same as what my son is getting. If you're just doing it like that, just to give it to them purely, but without fikr and concern that upon my demise, my daughter is going to get half and my son is going to get double, so let me manipulate the law so that in my lifetime, I can give my daughter more. That niyat is not right, because that means you got attachment with the dunya. Your heart and your soul is in that wealth. Do what you have to do, but do it with a good intention. Lastly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, Iyakum wa tana'um. Nabi said, give the advice to the Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. Stay away from comfort and luxuries of life. The sincere servants of Allah are not those people that they are not mutana'imeen. They are not those people that are engrossed and soiled in comfort and luxuries of the world. You got this cell phone, or the latest one come, you have to have that. New furniture came out, you have to have that. New crockery came out, you have to have that. Latest car came out, you have to have that. Change that attitude and think that let me learn one new dua that I didn't know. Let me learn one new masla that I knew that I didn't know. Let me learn one new zikr that I didn't know. Do the all new things. So change our mindset from new things of the dunya to new things of the akhirat that can empower us and help us out. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Inshallah, now we'll be making the zikr of Allah. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Into tonight's tarawih, we did كصاحب الحوت أبو يونس عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا تكن كصاحب الحوت إذ نادى وهو مكزوم. He was in a state of grief in the belly of the fish. He called out, and in another juz of the Quran al-Kareem, ونادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم. This is what zikr does. When you're in a state of grief, challenging situation, you turn your heart and mind to Allah. Allah changes the grief and Allah brings sukoon and peace in your life. In the tonight's tarabi we also did, وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Make the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the morning. We do it after Fajr. Wa asila at night also. All the time. Make the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite 3 times. Qul huwallahu ahad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا الله 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 Allah
Allah, 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 Allah.
This generally, when the 27th night comes and goes, then we started getting relaxed in the last three nights. And remember that just as there's a potential of Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights, the possibility of Laylatul Qadr being in the even night should not be ruled out. There's also a possibility. Tonight there are 28th night. So don't make it in your mind already, no, 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 tonight is not Laylatul Qadr. And then we get relaxed. Nabi Sasa mentioned search for Laylatul Qadr, and that is why the specification of Laylatul Qadr has been lifted out so that we could make mujahada. Every single night we search. And then Allah knows where we got it, didn't got it. But if every single night we make mujahada, it is hope by the end of Ramadan that inshallah one of the 10 nights where that Allah has given us the tawfiq to make ibadat in Laylatul Qadr. The biggest thing, make dua, make dua. Allah opens the mind of somebody and gives him that nature and gives him a habit of making dua. It means that Allah's mercy is directed towards him. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi may yasha wa yahdi ilayhi may yunib. Ijtiba means Allah draws you towards him. And Allah gives a heart of inabat and turn, and that is through making dua. Allah grant us tawfiq. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan sahab will make the dua.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن سهلا إذا شئت لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة هي لك رضاه إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين O most merciful, gracious and kind Allah, O loving Allah, Ya Allah, we are sinners, Ya Allah, we break your commandments at all the time, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents. Ya Allah, forgive our spouses, our siblings. Ya Allah, forgive our children. Ya Allah, forgive our family members. Allah, forgive the whole ummah of our Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O most kind and compassionate and loving Allah, Ya Allah, grant us your muhabbat and your love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the love of our Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasallam, may Allah grant us the love for Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Ya Allah grant us the love for the entire deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah grant us the love for the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts, Ya Allah, from all the difficulties, from all the ills, and all the dirt and the filth that lies in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, lighten our hearts, Ya Allah, with the noor of Iman. Ya Allah, with the noor of Yaqeen, the noor of your muhabbat, your love, your ma'rifat, your itaat, your obedience. Oh, most merciful Allah, in the noor and the love, Ya Allah, of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, most merciful Allah, whatever challenges, Ya Allah, we have, Ya Allah. Oh, Rabbi Kareem, you remove it and avert it from us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, turn our hearts towards the Akhirat, Ya Allah. Oh, most merciful Allah, whoever has whatever illnesses and sicknesses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, amongst us, in the Ummat, in our families, Ya Allah, grant each and every person complete shifa, O Allah, whoever is indebted, Ya Allah, from the unseen, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you assist, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, and make the arrangements for all of that to be paid out, Ya Allah, O most merciful Allah, O Allah, safeguard the Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Al-Aqsa has been under attack, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you safeguard it, Ya Allah, protect it, Ya Allah, protect those that are living there, Ya Allah, O most merciful Allah, make us worthy custodians of Al-Aqsa, Ya Allah. And once again, Ya Allah, bring it back in the hands of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, safeguard all the masajid, Ya Allah, all the makatib, all the madaris, Ya Allah, all the Islamic organizations, Ya Allah, that are working according to your pleasure, Ya Allah, and whoever is doing whatever work, Ya Allah, accept from them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make your deen dominant once again on the surface of the earth. Ya Allah, wherever the ummah is suffering, Ya Allah, relieve the sufferings, relieve the ummah of the sufferings, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, there are many, Ya Allah, that have made different requests, Ya Allah. Fulfill our needs, Ya Allah, fulfill their needs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill our desires, Ya Allah, fulfill their desires that are permissible, Ya Allah. O Rabbi Kareem, O Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah, make us yours. Ya Allah, when maut comes, Ya Allah, when the time of maut comes, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, turn our hearts towards you, Ya Allah. Turn our hearts towards you, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts, Ya Allah, with the noor of Iman and Ma'rifat and Yaqeen, Ya Allah. And at that time, Ya Allah, let the kalima flow from our tongues. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, at that time, Ya Allah, you be fully pleased with us, Ya Allah. Make us fully pleased with you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at the time of maut, Ya Allah, let us be carrying out the best of ibadat, Ya Allah. In the best of places, Ya Allah, in the best of times, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, save us from an evil death. Ya Allah, save us from the adab of the qabr. Ya Allah, do not disgrace us at the time of maut. Ya Allah, do not disgrace us tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, without any hisab and kitab, Ya Allah, grant us all entry into Jannat, Ya Allah. Grant us all entry into Jannat. Make us fortunate, Ya Allah, the fortunate ones that will drink from the Hawd al-Kawthar of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith, aslih lana sha'nana kulla, wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfat ayn. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyyuka sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antal musta'an wa alaykal balagh, la hawla wa la quwwata illa بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.